you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. You're listening to Mind Body Peak Performance with your host, Nick Urban. Back in episode number 51, I interviewed the Fume team. They make a small, handheld, portable aromatherapy inhalation, what looks like wooden pipe. I pair that with an essential oil like peppermint, black pepper, or clove and use it for a quick physical energy boost or a mental pick-me-up. But back then, we didn't talk much about essential oils, how they work, the science behind them, and specific oils and blends. So that's exactly what we're doing today. Joining us this week is our guest, Jody Cohen. Jody is a best-selling author, award-winning journalist, and founder of Vibrant Blue Oils, a top online resource for essential oils. After she personally experienced the profound physical and mental benefits of essential oils in addressing her own anxiety, insomnia, and autoimmunity, Jody wanted to know why. So she explored and got certifications in nutritional therapy, functional neurology, herbalism and aromatherapy, along with all kinds of educational courses in plant medicine, brain health, Chinese medicine, and herbalism. Jody works closely with healthcare practitioners, including MDs, NDs, nurse practitioners, chiropractors, acupuncturists, health coaches, nutritionists, and yoga instructors to implement the most effective essential oil protocols in clinical practice to support underlying imbalances that often lead to disease, including sleep, stress, digestion, inflammation, detoxification, and blood sugar imbalances. If you enjoy this conversation and want to learn more about how essential oils work and more of the nerdy details, as well as protocols and other oil blends, I suggest you head over to Amazon or your local bookstore and grab a copy of her latest release called Essential Oils to Boost the Brain and Heal the Body. And if you want to grab your own oils, Jody and team have set up a Mind Body Peak Performance listener discount. If you use the code URBAN, that'll save you $10 on your first order. Just go to vibrantblueoils.com. And if you have any questions or comments on this stuff, you can leave them at mindbodypeak.com/57. That's where all the show notes, links, and resources for this one will be. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation on the world of essential oils. Jody Cohen, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, excited to talk about biohacking.
Yeah, me too. And this is a new one for us, biohacking with specific plants, and not just any plants, but the constituents and the essential oils.
Yes, which if you think about biohacking, they're far more efficient because they're the concentrated essence of plant. So it's kind of the best part, the most, you know, useful.
Let's start off with the typical introduction warm-up question, and that is, what are the unusual or non-negotiable things that you've done so far today for your health and performance?
I exercised. I eat healthy. I try to eat as many vegetables as I can every day. I set an intention. I set intentions the night before. I kind of plan my day the night before. And so I have a roadmap when I wake up.
I love that. I think planning the night before is very underrated because then you wake up with energy and you have a clear focus. You're not behind before you even start the day.
Yes. You're proactive instead of reactive, and that's far more efficient.
Yeah. So you wrote a book that I really enjoyed last year called Essential Oils to Boost the Brain and Heal the Body, 5 Steps to Calm Anxiety, Sleep Better, and Reduce Inflammation to Regain Control of Your Health. How'd you go about structuring the book?
You know, it's really funny. I have several great friends who are practitioners who deal with the chronically ill. And one of them said to me one time, you know, she gets people who usually have gone to like 30 other doctors first, and they think that they're broken and complicated. And they typically have a box of all of their test results and their labs. And they come in saying like, I'm so complicated, no one can heal me. And she says, you know, those are really data points, because at the end of the day, it really gets down to these 5 things. You know, are you sleeping? Because if you're not sleeping, your brain isn't cleaning house, and it's basically you're not restoring and regenerating. Are you able to activate the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system so that you can switch off kind of that safety response and actually turn on healing? Are you able to drain? Can the garbage actually leave the body once it's mobilized? You know, can you anti-inflame the gut, and is your immune system modulated? And she's like, that's what I do for everyone. And it doesn't matter if it's Lyme or if it's, you know, Alzheimer's, it's the same thing for everyone. And it's sad that it's so complicated. And so when she was saying that, it occurred to me that oils really complement those 5 areas. And wouldn't it be great if people felt empowered in their own home, not having to fly to a expensive doctor, but to just start making these changes?
Give me the quick summary of why essential oils are so powerful.
People don't realize is that almost every pharmaceutical drug is derived from plants. White willow bark evolved into aspirin, valerian root evolved into Valium. You know, when the pilgrims came here, we were asking the Native Americans what plants are healing. And it's the plant constituents that are biofamiliar with humanity and that actually heal us. You know, and to make a drug, you have to modify it slightly because you can't patent anything found in nature. And in that process, that's why we get some side effects. So if you can just take the essence in its most easily, you know, inhalable, topically applied or ingestible form, it just makes it that much easier to help your body restore to factory settings.
I was talking about this on another podcast, and my introduction to essential oils was the book, The Cure is in the Cupboard, all about oil of oregano specifically. And I was like, okay, this seems compelling, but essential oils are woo-woo and BS. So I got some myself, took out the container. I'm like, how much can this do? Put it right up to my mouth and put a drop in my tongue, and it burned my tongue. And after that, I was like, okay, these things are, there's something to them. They're a lot more powerful than I thought, and I should give them some respect.
And it's really unfortunate, because even in my grandfather's generation, he had a huge garden, and there's so much kind of forgotten knowledge. Like, I feel like our generation is so disempowered. We feel like the only way to feel better is to manage the symptom, but we never actually get to the underlying root cause and eliminate the problem. And I feel like the more we remember what our ancestors did and how easy it is to access plants and use plants to help us. Literally, it's 5 things. It's sleeping, it's calming the stress, it's making sure the garbage leaves, calming inflammation, and modulating the immune system. And if you can do those 5 things, no matter what is going on with you right now, you will feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how simple that is. And I guess that's a good segue to start. How exactly do essential oils work in the body? I know in your book, you mentioned a handful of different things I'd love to touch on.
There are really 3 ways that you can kind of assimilate oils, right? You can smell them, and it can be as simple as opening a bottle and just putting it under your nose. You do not need to buy a fancy diffuser. And in many ways, that's wasteful, because you know, your nose only takes up a certain portion of the room. You do not need to fill the whole room with something that you're, you know, ingesting through the nose. And what's cool about the nose is that your olfactory channels are brain cells, right? That is the fastest way into the brain. That's why they do anesthesia through the nose. That's why cocaine is inhaled through the nose, because it gets into the system super quickly. You know, the blood-brain barrier is thinner there. The capillaries are closer to the surface. All of the nasal sprays, that's a great access point to the brain. And it's really hard to get remedies into the brain, because the blood-brain barrier is kind of a selective bodyguard. It only lets super small fat soluble molecules through. That, you know, out of all the ways you can use it, I actually think smelling is the most efficient. The next way is ingestion, which you mentioned with your oregano oil. I do not think that is the most efficient at all, in part because I think so many people have compromised digestive function, you know, and so if you can kind of skip that first assimilation pathway, the other way is through topical application. And a lot of people diminish topical application because they assume, you know, oh, you hurt your wrist. So you're applying something on your wrist and it has that local effect on your wrist, but it doesn't necessarily have the system-wide effect because they're assuming it has to go, you know, through the skin, into the bloodstream, to the heart, and then have kind of a systemic effect. What they don't realize is that there are acupuncture points and pressure points that you can topically apply oils on, and it has that whole systemic effect, which is far more efficient and, you know, a fabulous bang for the buck.
One that I kept coming across in your book was the bottom of the feet, which I would never have expected, but it seems like that's an efficient place.
That it's the most efficient place, and it's actually the safest place because the skin on the bottom of the feet is the thickest. And to your point, some oils are considered hot, like oregano oil. Like if you were to put it on another point on your, like your wrist, it might turn a little red. It might feel hot. If that ever happens, what you do is you just go into your kitchen and grab any other oil to dilute it. Don't add water. Water and oil don't mix. But because the bottom of the feet have thick skin, if you were to put the oregano on the bottom of the feet and not in your mouth, it wouldn't have had the same effect. You wouldn't have felt it as strongly. And also because there are so many reflex points on the bottom of the feet, you can basically treat the entire body from the feet. So when people reach out and say, you know, I'm really sensitive to smell, or my spouse is really sensitive to smell, you can put it on the bottom of the feet, put socks on, no one needs to smell it, and it's just as effective.
And then can you talk about the vagus nerve? That was another one that when you're trying to heal should be a focus in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for any listeners who aren't familiar with your autonomic nervous system, it controls all of your automatic functions, you know, breathing, heart rate, inflammation, immune function, and it's designed to keep you alive. So it has kind of two gears to oversimplify. But if there's danger involved, not just physical danger, but thought-driven or emotional danger, you turn on the news and think you might die, all of a sudden your nervous system allocates resources towards survival. Your heart starts to beat faster, so you might feel a little anxious. You've taken, you know, that's to move blood flow, taking more oxygen so you have more energy, and blood is routed towards arms and legs and away from the core of digestion detoxification. That is known as the sympathetic branch. That is known as the sympathetic branch of your autonomic nervous system. The I am in danger, I must allocate resources towards survival. The healing branch is known as the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system. And when the danger has passed and it's safe to now heal, digest your food, eliminate your waste, turn off inflammation, turn on your immune system, that is kind of the state we're supposed to toggle back to, but most people get stuck in that sympathetic state. And the gear shift between these two branches of the nervous system is your vagus nerve. Your vagus nerve is the longest nerve in the body that most people have never heard of. It sounds like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but it's spelled V-A-G-U-S. And it is the information superhighway from the body to the brain and the brain down to the body. So just so people understand where it goes physiologically, it starts at the very back of the head, base of the brain, splits, and is most accessible right behind the earlobe. If the listeners want to feel with me behind the earlobe, you're going to feel a bone. That's your mastoid bone. And that divot between the earlobe and the bone is where your vagus nerve is the most accessible to the surface. And the reason that's helpful is because by stimulating it, you can gear shift yourself into parasympathetic. From the back of your ear, it winds through your throat, your heart, your lungs, every organ of digestion and detoxification. And all of these organs can be used as a trigger point. So when you're twisting and turning in yoga, you're stimulating the vagus nerve and turning on parasympathetic. When you're doing meditative diaphragmatic breathing, you're activating your vagus nerve. When you gag yourself with a tongue depressor or gargle, you know, until you cry. All of these things, coffee enemas, can activate the vagus nerve. But the sad thing is most people listen to me and say, like, you want me to give myself a coffee enema? I mean, I might as well have three heads. They're not doing that. So my whole quest prior to kind of realizing the power of oils was helping people find an easier, you know, affordable, easy way that you can do things. And so I found this research. It's called vagus nerve stimulation. And there is a New York neuroscientist named Kevin Tracy who was surgically implanting a pacemaker-like device behind the earlobe on that point and using it to electrically stimulate the vagus nerve. And he got great results. In fact, the FDA has actually approved this invasive procedure for epilepsy, migraines, and depression. And when I realized, oh my goodness, he's just stimulating that point. You know, we talked about how if you put a stimulatory oil on your arm, it turns red, it stimulates. I started playing with the idea of using essential oils to stimulate that point. And it works just as well, you know, and you can reapply it. It's, you don't have to have two surgeries. It's non-invasive. It's natural. So that was really, you know, my whole strategy is to use a very small amount of natural organic oils on very specific points to help literally kind of shift the body back into balance.
Yeah. That was one of the ones where you, rather than applying it to the foot, it's best if you apply it behind the ear, near the vagus nerve itself.
There is a point on the foot that I detail in the book, but yes, I do think the ear is preferable. And people always ask which side. The left side is more prominent. The vagus nerve is more accessible on the left side, but both sides are fine. And you can do both if you're super stressed.
I see. Are there any general mechanisms that essential oils work on that are universal, regardless of the way you administer them, whether it's topical, whether it's inhalation, whether it's ingestion?
Basically, I think there is kind of a balance, you know, on the planet and within the body. I think that humans and plants are biofamiliar. I think that the basis that they're working on is homeostasis. You know, there are a lot of plants that are known as adaptogenic herbs.
Yeah.
And what that means, it's kind of the Goldilocks principle, right? You know, like think of your adrenal glands, which either produce too much cortisol, which is kind of the energy trans hormone. So you either feel like almost caffeinated and a little agitated, or too little and you feel fatigued. So it's the Goldilocks principle. You don't want them to overproduce and you don't want them to underproduce. You want to get it just right. So these adaptogenic herbs kind of take the balance out. So if it's too high, they bring you down to center. If it's too low, it brings you up to midline. It's like that perfect friend. You've had the best day ever and you're so excited and you want someone to be your cheerleader and they say the perfect thing. Or you had a really rotten day and you want someone to just validate you and, you know, cheer you up. You know, no matter where you are, they meet you in the middle.
So if I apply a stimulating essential oil, will that always bring me back into homeostasis? Or will that elevate, say, my adrenal function versus a sedating essential oil?
There's this whole line of thinking in naturopathic medicine about the nervous system being imbalanced, not being switched. So sometimes what happens is the nervous system switches. And what that means is that things that are supposed to calm you, make you sedative. Like I'll never forget, someone told me to give my child Benadryl on a red eye because it would knock them out, right? Except it had the opposite effect. Longest flight of my life with the fast, you know, 2-year-old. And because his nervous system, in hindsight, I recognize his nervous system is switched. So it's not, I guess what I'm saying is one size doesn't fit all. Most of the time for most people, applying our parasympathetic gland behind the earlobe on the mastoid bone will activate the parasympathetic nervous system. If it does not, that means your nervous system is switched and there are ways to unswitch. The easiest is to do some kind of tapping.
Is that related? Are stimulating oils always heating and then parasympathetic are always cooling? What are some of the characteristics and qualities that you use to differentiate oils?
You know, it's really interesting because I don't work with single oils. I work with blends, which are combinations. And what I found with blends is that it changes. It's a little bit like certain friends are the extrovert in one group and the introvert in other groups. You know, depending on the people we're around, sometimes you're the leader. Sometimes you're the follower, and it's not necessarily set in stone. So it's not that cut and dry. And what I've tried to do is actually take the guesswork out, because I have been doing this for long enough and working with practitioners for long enough that I've kind of found combinations and blends that I find work consistently, so that I know there's a lot of people who use oils and, you know, they buy all the raw materials and they make it themselves. And I'm too efficient for that. Yeah. I'm like, I just give me the finished remedy and tell me exactly how to use it.
Yeah. You also dive into each of the different ingredients in the book and give a good background on the science, how they work, the different uses, the blends they can be used in. And we'll talk a bit about blends in a second, because that was probably one of my favorite parts of the book, because there's so many different things. But then how do you choose a blend that, like, they all sound good? I want to detox. I want to improve cognition. I want to focus. I want to be better at sports. You name it, all these different things. So I can't just apply all the blends at once.
No, I wouldn't do that, because, you know, oftentimes that's really one of the reasons that I tried to pick the five steps. If you're not sleeping, start with sleep. Because sometimes, like, let's just say that you're exhausted, you're craving sugar, you can't focus, and you're not sleeping. So sometimes if we help you sleep, you have more energy. So you're not exhausted. You don't need to constantly, you know, be getting like low energy food like sugar. Your sugar cravings stop. You can focus. So I really do think that there's a hierarchy, a little bit of kind of what you address and when. So I always, sleep is the first question. If they're not sleeping, that's where I start with everyone. If they are sleeping, then I look to kind of stress, like, are you easily overwhelmed? Do you kind of feel paralyzed sometimes? Do you feel anxious? You know, do you have any kind of digestive distress? All of these things. We actually have a whole checklist for parasympathetic symptoms. And then I go there. And then the next thing is just making sure that the garbage leaves the body. You know, I use that analogy of if you yell fire in the movie theater without opening the exit doors, you're just going to have a lot of people running around bumping into each other. You want to make sure that everything is leaving, so that you have less, you know, stress on your system.
You talk a lot about how the different oils impact hormones. Can you explain a bit about how that works?
Yeah, and I don't, you know, there was one study about lavender, you know, having estrogenic effects in boys that is often cited, and it was really tested on a very small population, and it's been kind of diminished. I don't know that I would ever say that oils work like hormones. I think what it is that the cell receptors, think of it like seats on the bus, right? And there are a lot of environmental toxins like plastic that take a seat on the bus but don't really do anything. And so I think what oils are really doing is kind of clearing the cell membrane, so that there is more ability for communication to flow between cells. I don't think it's mimicking hormones. I think it's just helping the body kind of get out of its own way.
One thing I found really cool is that when you are going to be exposed to a stressor, you can inoculate yourself against that by using essential oils beforehand.
Yeah, I do think there's this idea of threshold, right? Like, you know, everyone always uses the cup, the example of the glass of water. If the glass of water is at the rim and you're trying to walk across, you know, the floor, it's likely going to overflow, right? So the smallest little stressor is just going to tip you over. If, however, the glass is like half full or mostly empty, you can take in a lot more water. You can kind of deal with stressors. For anyone who's listening, whoever gets like hangry, you know, they're so hungry that they're just going to lose it, or they snap at people. And then you sit down, you have the appetizer or whatever, and suddenly you feel better. You're not as hangry. You're not as reactive. I think that by stimulating the vagus nerve to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, you're immediately turning on more capacity. So no matter what your threshold is, you have more bandwidth.
Healing the vagus nerve should have been in the title, because now I'm not realizing just how important it is to everything.
It really isn't. It's funny, when you work with a publisher like Random House, you don't get to pick your title. I had a different title, but, you know.
That's how it goes. Okay, well, let's talk about some of your favorite blends. I was going to ask you about specific oils to begin with, but I think the more fruitful question is blends, because as you mentioned, you prefer to work with multiple oils at the same time. Why is that?
It's almost like, you know, if I were to say to you, like, I'm going to serve you an apple, like, would you be excited? Or how about, I'm going to serve you this fabulous salad that has tons of fruits and vegetables, and it just harmonizes and brings out the flavor. I just think that there's really a synergy to life, you know, and the more you can kind of combine things and bring out the essences. And I'll give you an example. So lymph, our lymphatic system is really the sewer system of the body. It helps get all of the garbage out of the body. And when the garbage doesn't leave the body, this is the problem. It recirculates and then it turns on the immune system because the immune system treats toxins kind of like it would a pathogen. And then it turns on inflammation. And then there is that whole domino effect from inflammation. So if we can just help remove the garbage from the body, it kind of lessens the burden on the immune system and everything else can heal, right? So lymph, unlike your cardiovascular system, doesn't have a pump. This is why exercise is so important. You know, anything you can do to kind of move your arms above your head is great for you. But it's also great to help the lymph drain. And that's not really something that you can ingest a remedy and it goes through your whole digestive tract and then goes to the heart and pumps it out. It's far easier to topically apply something and also to add directionality, right? The lymph is draining downward. So there's this amazing Italian researcher named Marco Ruggiero, and he was looking at the neck is the biggest bottleneck in the body, right? Toxins are draining from the brain. They have to go down the neck and then into the body to leave. So there's a lot going on in the neck. You've got your structure, your bones, your muscle, your nerves, your lymph, your circulation. And it's a little bit like if you're ever in the middle seat on the airplane between two linebackers, you know, good luck putting your arms on the armrest. There's no space. It's all compressed together. And so that's sometimes what happens. The lymph just gets congested and kind of bumps into everything else. And so there are certain oils that help vasodilate, expand, you know, the space. Mm-hmm. And then there are other oils that help kind of encourage downward movement, you know, those grounding oils that have deep roots in the earth. So if you can both expand and get it to move downward, you're really hitting a home run with getting the lymph to flow and move. And so that's what I'm always trying to do is take different plants that have different features, you know, like a baseball team, right? Not everyone is the best pitcher. Not everyone is the best outfielder. They all work together as a unit, and together they, you know, are able to really succeed.
So would you do that in one blend? Would you do something, use something for circulation and then also a more grounding oil to draw it from the neck down and out of the body?
Yeah, I do that in the circulation blend and the lymph blend. That's really what I'm trying to do is just give everyone kind of everything they need. It's like a multivitamin, right? You know, it's just kind of meeting all of the needs so that the body, it's easier for it to be topically applied and kind of help the body return to balance so that it heals.
So that's what you say when you combine oils for balance and then also to mitigate the side effects.
Well, there really aren't, you know, it's really funny. It's like,
side effects.
I mean, if you know, that old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. What are the side effects of eating an apple a day?
Yeah.
What are the side effects of getting 8 hours of sleep? What are the side effects of drinking a lot of water? If you're making smart choices, it's not necessarily like there are side effects. You know, there are side effects of having too many glasses of alcohol, possibly having too much, you know, I always encourage people to make natural, healthy choices.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Jody, if you had to choose specific oils for a couple of different things, first for athletics and sports performance, are there any that stand out there?
Yeah, the circulation blend is great for sports performance because what you really want is more oxygen capacity, right? And the oils that kind of stand out, black pepper is a great oil. Peppermint is a great oil. Cypress actually is a fabulous oil, super good for all of the circulatory stuff, you know, that's going on now. And you can put it like literally at the base of the head. I often do that. I actually find whenever I have to drive, I have a teenager who's often not home until midnight. So sometimes I wait up. So I put it on the back of my head to keep myself alert if I have to hyper-focus and write something, or often actually when I'm running and it just, and along the neck just increases oxygen. Mm-hmm. It helps make everything flow more quickly. I also really like lymph, not necessarily because I think it enhances performance. It sometimes does. Like the big bottlenecks with lymph are the neck, under the armpits, and kind of along the bikini line, the inguinal area. And for example, yoga, you know, a lot of times with yoga, you'll be doing warrior positions. And the idea is to kind of really get into the hips. I do find that when I put the Lymphlin on the inguinal area, I can squat a lot lower.
Yeah, those are staples for me. I use a lot of peppermint. I use black pepper. I use clove, which I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not. But I don't know if you've heard of...
Clove is great.
If you've heard of Fume, the little essential oil inhalers, and I'll use that when I'm working out. And it might not be as effective as topical, putting on the base of my neck, but I still notice a clear opening of my airways when I use it.
No, that's exactly right.
What about the citruses? That seems to be another common one that you reference a lot in the book.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. So my parasympathetic blend is clove. Clove has this constituent eugenol that is literally the rock star of all constituents. It's great for everything. But clove has medium-sized molecules. And so all of the citrus blends have smaller molecules, which is why they're so fabulous for uplifting, for depression. You smell them and they're so small, they get right into the brain. So I think citrus is amazing. You know, be a little careful if you're topically applying it and going out in the sun. Actually, here's a fun fact. If it's, it can either be from kind of the peel or different parts. So the citrus from certain areas are less phototoxic, which is great to know. But in terms of like mood, and especially for kids, you know, bergamot and neroli are the ones that are commonly mentioned for depression or anything mood related. They're slightly more expensive. Orange is super affordable. Most people like it and it works very similarly. So if you've never played with oils and you're like, I'm not quite sure what I think of this, you know, just go into a natural food store and smell orange. And if you like it, that's what to start with.
What about grapefruit?
Grapefruit's good. Grapefruit's really good for like cellulite and weight loss and things like that. I mean, they all have this constituent D-limonene that is really powerful. Yeah, grapefruit's great too. It's, you know, it's kind of like how much salt do you put on your food? It's a matter of personal preference.
Yeah. And is there any reason to choose, other than scent preference, to choose lime over lemon?
Lime has a few more detoxifying features. You know, lemon is, it's really personal preference, but note to moms, if you ever get Sharpie on anything, lemon is the best cleaning oil. It will get Sharpie off of anything. Any mess your child makes, lemon can fix it.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I also am interested in brain health and cognition. And I've been using my own little blend for a while, and that's consisted of rosemary and peppermint have been the backbone of it. And then I also came across in your book, you mentioned that your focus blend contains basil and cardamom also.
Yeah, those are all good. I mean, rosemary and peppermint, if you start to delve into the research, there's so much research on both of those for cognition. And it's also interesting, you know, smell memory, like most people, there's certain, you know, you smell something that reminds you of your grandma's perfume or, you know, your childhood home, and it takes you back immediately. You can also use that when studying, like you can smell peppermint before, you know, doing spelling words, and then smell it again before the test, and it helps with the recall.
I think that's been used back since the early days, since like the Romans or Greeks.
Probably. Yeah. You know, I would imagine someone said to me, like, do you think they knew how to make oils? I'm like, they figured out how to build pyramids. I think they can figure out how to pick plants and boil water and make oils.
Yeah. And then the other one, probably the most famous blend, is what's called Thieves. I've also seen it called Germ Fighter and different things.
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah, that has a great story. I think it's either Young Living or doTERRA has the story where it was... during the bubonic plague, there were thieves that were stealing the gold teeth out of the dead people's mouths. I mean, think of that as today, we're like masked up and 6 feet apart, and somehow they never got sick. And so when they were finally apprehended, the authorities offered them a lesser sentence if they agreed to say what they were doing to prevent sickness. And it was a combination of hot oils like oregano, thyme, clove, cinnamon, that basically, you know, if you think about your immune system and heat, right? You get a fever, you spike a fever. Yeah. Heat allows like more space. It allows things to get in. So those oils are very antibacterial, antimicrobial. They're really great for kind of preventing sickness. You can put them on my favorite way to use it is just to put it on the bottom of the feet and then put socks on before bed. So it just works while you're sleeping. You can also take a super hot bath, a hot Epsom salt bath, and put it on the feet afterwards, so you kind of sweat out the cold. But if you're starting to feel like a tickle in your throat or you're sick, it's just a great way to either avoid getting sick or to accelerate recovery.
I tend to bring that one with me whenever I travel for that very reason.
Yeah, that's a good one. We also have one called histamine balance that I love, because I find so many hotel rooms are slightly moldy. And if you're sensitive to mold, this one just helps you kind of respond in a way that you don't overreact. You don't wind up getting like, you know, sneezy and coffee or, you know, having red watery eyes.
That would probably help with seasonal allergies as well.
It's great with seasonal allergies. There was one time, I'm not great with cats, and I wound up on a cross-country flight sitting next to someone who had a cat. And I'm like, oh, darn, I didn't think to bring Benadryl. But I was like, oh, wait, I have this. And it actually helped.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different systems that these blends can treat. Like a couple from my notes I'm looking at right now are the biofilm buster, the histamine rebalancer. You have things to use to get over mold toxicity.
There are a lot of different recipes that you can use, but my main hope is that I don't want people to feel overwhelmed. You know, I don't want them to think, oh gosh, that's too complicated, I can't do that. Like, I just want them to be able to say, oh, I hadn't thought about that. You know, let me see what I like in the natural store. Let me, you know, they're welcome to, I'll give you a coupon code if they want to buy any of our blends. Parasympathetic is, I call it the gateway drug. It's the one I encourage people to start with, because most of us, even if we don't necessarily feel stressed, just being able to access our parasympathetic nervous system, build our vagal tone, kind of helps improve our resilience and our threshold.
Totally. I was the type that thought that my stress was my secret weapon, and I wore a continuous glucose monitor, which showed me that my fasting blood glucose is 30 points higher when I'm undergoing a lot of stress. So I know that I need to be using the parasympathetic blend more. And I actually have a bunch of those oils over here that have mostly been collecting dust, if I'm honest. And I tend to gravitate more towards the stimulating hot oils.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, you can do that up until a certain age, and then it catches up with you. Yeah. So, you know.
How do you recommend people understand the best way to administer an oil? Like a second ago, you were mentioning that you apply thieves to the bottom of your feet, but how do you know that's better than inhalation, for example?
Inhalation always wins. Oh. It is the easiest way to assimilate an oil. And, you know, there is, I've heard people say that if you think it smells repugnant, that means you need it. I don't think that's true. You know, I think that the body craves what it needs. Like for the women who might crave chocolate at a certain time of month, that's because your body needs magnesium. Yeah. When you crave a hamburger, it means you need iron. I say trust yourself. If something smells great to you, it's probably a good fit for you. If it doesn't smell great, you do not need to force yourself to smell something you don't like.
It's good to know, Jody. I won't force myself into suffering.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the things you want to look for when you're evaluating oils? Like you mentioned something that I want to highlight back towards the beginning of the conversation, and that was the part of the plant that it comes from can make a difference to the phototoxicity, but also it has other effects. So the part of the plant, and also one that I've come across, is the country of origin.
Yes and no. You know, like I live in Washington State, and we actually grow lavender and squim that is great. Different regions have different kind of soil and different values. I think certain place plants, like, you know, you really want to get your helichrysum from Corsica. You really want to get your blue tansy from Morocco. In terms of peppermint, it doesn't matter if you get it in the UK or the US. You know, lavender can be from France. It can be from Hungary. I think there's so much fear marketing in this space that in part is dictated by certain companies who want to scare you from buying other people's stuff. It's hard to kind of mess up, you know, and if you think about it, if you've ever had an herb garden, it's pretty hard to kill mint and lavender. So you don't necessarily need tons and tons of pesticides. I only source organic just because, you know, it's the concentrated oil and don't want it to be the concentrated essence of pesticides. But, you know, if you're new to this, it's not, I don't think it's that scary and that overwhelming, you know, just get some lavender, add it to an Epsom salt bath, get some orange. The one thing I will say that's interesting in terms of application, you know, there's a whole branch of chiropractic called functional neurology that is basically trying to balance the two hemispheres of the brain. And they use oils a lot in brain balancing. And one of the things my friend Titus Chu, who's a functional neurologist, taught me, I'm a little bit of a poster child for anxiety and had been prone to anxiety attacks. And what he was saying is when you're having an anxiety attack, that is your right frontal lobe, your right forehead, that's kind of overactive. So the way to calm that down is to stimulate your left frontal lobe, your left forehead, and your nasal passageways go directly to that area of the forehead. So literally taking your right thumb, plugging your right nostril and smelling anything through the left nostril will then stimulate the left frontal lobe, balance the two hemispheres of the brain, and the anxiety or panic dissipates really quickly.
Wow. Yeah, I actually had that in my notes to ask you about because I read that in your book that the nostril you inhale through actually can make a difference in terms of the overall effects on your brain and body.
Yes, and especially, I mean, given kind of what's happening on the planet right now, if there's anything that's easy that can help anyone or their children calm anxiety, I really want people to know about that.
A second ago, you mentioned that it generally doesn't matter so much about where you get your oils in terms of the country of origin, but then you also mentioned that blue tansy definitely from Morocco. So how would the layperson know that their oil is either okay to be sourced from anywhere or it definitely should be from one place?
Yeah, I think that people don't trust themselves as much as they should. Like anyone who's walked through a mall, those candle stores, it's very clear that they're not, you know, organic scents. Like I really want to deter people from kind of falling into that fear marketing trap. So, you know, you can look on the bottle, you can always ask the company. But the reality is most companies source from the same place. Like most of the blue tansy is from Morocco. Most of the helichrysum is from Corsica.
Because sometimes there's a huge difference in price. Like one will be 3 times more expensive than the other.
Yeah, no, I've seen that as well. And I, you know, I don't pretend to understand why other companies price the way they do.
Okay. How about any hacks you have? Hacks to stack your essential oils with other modalities, other life things. One thing I thought was really cool was putting Epsom salt next to your night table and then a couple of drops of that to slow the evaporation rate so you're not wasting as much as you normally do, because I have a big diffuser right next to me, but the thing chews through oil and it's so wasteful. Yeah. I don't like to use it that much.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the other thing I like is just putting like a drop of oil on a cotton ball and you can put it in a pillowcase. I caution people to be very careful using oils on little ones, you know, anyone under 18 months. But if they really are committed, just put a drop on a cotton ball and put it in their crib. You can put it on a cotton ball and put it for women in the bra or men for the side pocket so that you can smell it throughout the day. There are certain acupuncture points that I really try to detail in the book that I think are incredibly powerful. One of my favorite points for everything is the clavicles. If you just gently feel kind of right above your clavicles, this is a great lymph drainage point. If it's slightly tender, it's great to kind of either massage it or you can kind of like gently light brush strokes. That's a great one to add the lymph oil or circulation or cypress on. Because if you think about it, like, you know, I live in Seattle, right? If I were going to drive to Portland, I can tell you where the traffic's going to be. It's going to be in Tacoma and Olympia, and it's pretty consistent, right? And if you're lucky, like if you drive in the middle of the night, you won't necessarily hit that traffic. So the big traffic jam in the body is always around the clavicles. So the more you can almost like untangle that area and ensure that, you know, the good things flow into your brain and the bad things are able to easily flow out, that's a really great tool for health.
What about other blends that you really like? I think another popular one would probably be the anti-inflammatory blend. Of course, this isn't medical advice, but perhaps before trying some NSAIDs or anti-inflammatory drugs, they could try something like the anti-inflammatory essential oil blend.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. And it's really high in like ginger and dill. You know, ginger is kind of a super weapon, even if you like drink ginger tea. I know several people that basically their COVID strategy was ginger tea. and they said it worked great. So it's incredibly powerful. When it's concentrated, it's even more powerful. You can either apply it kind of clockwise around your belly button, and that helps with gut related things, or put it on the back of the head or sides of the ears. And then a lot of people who, I have dry skin, so this is not my issue, but people who have acne and skin related issues have had a lot of success putting it on the bottom of their feet before bed.
Let's talk about these blends in general. The way they tend to work is that you have the essential oils, multiple of them for the reasons we've been discussing, and then you also have a carrier oil of some sort.
Yeah, I tend to use fractionated coconut oil for a number of reasons. It helps it not go bad. It preserves it for longer. And it also helps to get it through the skin more quickly. Like some oils, you know, like castor oil or jojoba, they're more like a slow release. And fractionated coconut oil is more like immediate hit. You know, like aspirin would be an immediate hit. You have a headache and you want to not have a headache, right? Some of the hormonal remedies, you want to be more slow timed release, right? Mm-hmm.
But the way they work is that you combine them with your essential oil, and then it neutralizes it. So it, in a way, it doesn't burn you the same way?
Well, yeah, it dilutes it.
Dilutes it, yeah.
Yeah.
It dilutes it, and then it also delivers it through the skin more effectively?
Yeah, it's basically, it carries it into the skin. Carrier oil carries it through the skin to get,
Makes sense. And then when you, if you make your own, you mix it like that. Say I mix peppermint and lemon, for example. I put, say, 5 drops of peppermint, 1 drop of lemon. The ratio doesn't really matter for this example. But then I add a bunch of...
Yeah, there are a lot of people that kind of over-dilute. And I understand why they do that, because they're erring on the side of caution. But sometimes when the body is super out of balance, like if you're really low in vitamin D, you're going to megadose D, right? You're not necessarily going to megadose once you get back to threshold. But I do think, you know, if you're worried, over dilute and err on the side of caution always. But I think a lot of what people recommend is a little bit more than you need.
Okay. After that, do you store it in a specific container?
Yeah, dark glass bottle, because light glass, you basically want to keep it kind of cool and away from direct sunlight.
Okay.
You don't need to put it in your refrigerator, but like if you put it in either a brown bottle, blue bottle, mirin glass, kind of lavender bottle, and just have it be tightly sealed so it doesn't evaporate, and just put it in kind of a cooler place.
What about nebulizing oils? Is that something that's safe? Because when I got a certain respiratory illness 2 months ago, I was doing a nebulization protocol, and I added 1 drop of oil oregano, super diluted, but I was still wondering just how safe it was, and I didn't constantly do it.
I have heard several practitioners say to do it. There are certain things that are like, don't try it at home. You know, like oregano can actually be helpful for certain gut issues, but I guess what I would say to that is, if you are working with a practitioner and they're telling you how to do that and kind of checking on you, then it's fine. But I wouldn't necessarily go, you know, like I wouldn't drink oregano, you know, like don't do that without supervised support.
And it's probably going to be even more important to have organic oils at that point, because how many pounds of plant, give or take, is like an average, does an average oil contain in each drop of oil?
Yeah, it can be vast. Like it can be, I think, 600 rose petals, 40 cups of peppermint tea, or like a drop of peppermint oil.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll start to slowly wind down, but are there any hacks that you like to get more of your essential oils?
Well, you know, the one thing that I really think is relevant given kind of the time we're living in, I think that it's very easy to feel like disempowered and kind of like you're at the mercy of the outside world, and that can be slightly overwhelming. And so one of the ways that I like to encourage people to use parasympathetic is when they feel overwhelmed. You know, Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl has this great quote: between the stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space lies our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And so when you might feel overwhelmed or like the world is kind of out of control, I do like to encourage people to apply the parasympathetic blend behind the earlobe on the mastoid bone to kind of stimulate the vagus nerve, calm the nervous system. And suddenly, you know, the opposite of I don't feel safe is I have choices. when your nervous system is calm, you feel like you have more choices. And while you can't control anything external, you can control your response.
Yeah, and that'll also be good for creative thinking and smart decision-making.
Yes, exactly. Well, no, you know, it's interesting. When you're kind of stuck in sympathetic, you're really stuck in the reptilian brain. You're really not able to access your forehead, your prefrontal cortex, where all of your executive problem-solving skills lie.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, activating the parasympathetic can shift some of the neuronal electrical activity from the amygdala back to the prefrontal cortex.
Exactly, exactly. And that lies in, you are definitely empowered and you have that within your toolkit.
Yeah. Well, Jody, how can people find you online? And if they want to pick up some of your oils or blends, where can they go to do that?
They can find me at Vibrant Blue Oils. And since we talked about the book, if you want to grab a free chapter, you can go to boostthebrainbook.com/gift.
Thank you. Okay, I have one more question for you before we go on to a quick rapid fire round.
Okay.
Imagine that there's a burning of the books. All knowledge on Earth is gone, but you get to save the works of three teachers. Who would you choose and why?
Oh my goodness, that's a fabulous question. I really like Ayn Rand. I think she's an interesting take on the world. You know, you got to put some Shakespeare in there. Classic. And then probably one of the old thinkers, you know, like Plato or Aristotle.
Good choices. Okay, on to the rapid fire round.
Okay.
What area of your own health and performance are you currently working on?
I'm 53, so I'm working on basically preventing menopause from being 50.
Are there any specific oils that work well for that?
Yeah, actually, the more you can support your adrenals, hypothalamus, and liver and gallbladder going into it, because basically what happens is the ovaries stop making estrogen, so you need your adrenals to kind of kick in. So yes, I'm very actively researching that for my own health.
Nice. You get five oils to keep. Which do you choose? No blends. No blends, just oils.
Definitely blue tansy. Definitely cypress. Peppermint, lavender, and frankincense.
Seems well balanced.
Thank you.
What's been the best purchase under $500 that's had a disproportionate effect on your life?
I love the Sonic Slider Tuning Fork. It's less than $100 and it's amazing. You can use it anywhere. I use it on the heart all the time. You can use it on the vagus nerve. You can just use it to clear the energy in the room. Actually combine it with oils.
I didn't realize you're into sound healing.
Oh, I play with all frequency. I think it's really fun.
That's really cool. I'll have to look into that one. I read another book on that. What was it? Tuning the Human Biofield. That was my introduction.
Yeah, she's brilliant. I mean, the Sonic Slider, I think it's $90, and she does so much with it. It can be used for so many things.
Cool. Okay. What's one thing that your tribe does not know about you?
That I like to research everything. I worked in the U.S. Senate for Ted Kennedy, and I had a lot of friends that were Republican, and I actually thought it was just fascinating to hear other people's viewpoint. Like, people not agreeing with me does not scare me at all. I find it fascinating.
I love that. That's the fast track to growth. It's how you understand both sides. You can make a more informed decision and opinion.
Yeah, and sometimes you learn things and you're like, well, that actually makes sense. Okay, I might revisit what I think again.
Yeah, we tend to chastise people who change their opinion over time, but really that's a sign that they're evolving and growing.
Yeah, I guess I'm evolving and growing.
Okay, Jody, how would you like to land this plane today?
I would encourage people to ask themselves what their favorite smells are. Because smell is, the most powerful scent. It keeps you alive. You smell food, you smell water, you smell predator odor and danger. So to really focus on their sense of smell and really key into whether it's their coffee first thing in the morning, you know, it's spring, the smells of spring, like the grass and the flowers, but just notice what you enjoy. And when you're feeling overwhelmed, really try to stretch your sense of smell. because activating that can really help you shift your perspective and your mindset.
If you've lost your sense of smell, there are ways to regain it.
Yes, and I actually have a blog on that. And smell retraining and peppermint is really the best one. Short answer, you kind of keep it far away and move it towards your nose until you start to smell. Everyone that I know that has been playing with that is starting to regain their smell.
Very cool. When I was following the ketogenic diet a while ago, I noticed over time my sense of smell diminished. And then I stopped and maybe it's essential oils. I can't say for sure, but I have a fully functional sense of smell again.
Good.
Well, Jodi Cohen, thank you for joining me on the Mind Body Peak Performance. To everyone tuning in, hope you have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.